look at the word better. We just the title of the lesson, in general, what's better in Hebrews. And on page one of your notes, I just kind of gave you an introduction looking at all the verses where the word better is found in the book of Hebrews. So by way of introduction, just by definition of the word better, means to a greater or higher extent, surpass, superior, a more favorable condition, standing above something else, more desirable, more excellent. So then I've just given you the list of the verses that we're going to be looking at in the book of Hebrews, and I'll take each one in turn. I know even the first one, I already see my notes, we'll do two Sunday nights just on the first one, Jesus being better than angels. And then we'll try to get maybe two or three in as we go by. Just some of these take a little bit longer when I look at the context of where the verse is and to kind of tell you the whole story or to look at everything around that particular phrase better. There's sometimes it may take a little bit longer than just a single lesson. But in the notes, by the way, just if you don't know or haven't caught on yet, the first number is the chapter, the second number is the verse. The chapter 1, verse 4, being made so much better than angels. Chapter 6, verse 9, but beloved, we are persuaded better things of you. Chapter 7, verse 7, and without all contradiction, the less is blessed of the better. And that's the context of the story of Abraham paying tithes to Melchizedek. So I may have to take some time on that one. I really didn't want to take a side trip on Melchizedek, but I will when we get there. Chapter 7, verse 19, but the bringing in of a better hope did. Better hope. Chapter 7, verse 22, by so much was Jesus made a surety of a better testament. And there's two other verses where a similar phrase is used. Chapter 8, verse 6, by how much also he is the mediator of a better covenant. Same verse, which was established upon better promises. So we'll probably put all of those together in a lesson. Chapter 9, verse 23, but the heavenly things themselves with better sacrifices than these. Referring to the Old Testament sacrifices of the blood of bulls and goats and heifers. Chapter 10, verse 34, knowing in yourselves that ye have in heaven a better and an enduring substance. Chapter 11, verse 16, but now they desire a better country, that is, an heavenly. Chapter 11, verse 35, that they might receive a better resurrection. Chapter 11, verse 40, God has provided some better thing for us. Chapter 12, verse 24, into the blood of sprinkling that speaks better things than that of Abel. And then the verse continues, that's about the blood of Abel yet speaks. And we'll give you a lesson on what does the blood of Abel say. Then we come to our lesson this evening. I'm just going to do point number one. Then we'll continue this lesson next week. The phrase in Hebrews chapter 1, verse 4, gives us the word better, being made so much better than angels. The context is really all of chapters 1 and 2. The Hebrew writer spends a lot of time talking about angels and Jesus being better than angels. And I'm not going to take a side trip on angels in this lesson except for what the text reveals. I did type up about 3 pages of notes on angels, so maybe when we finish the series on the word better, I'll come back and pick up the subject matter of angels. I want to read as far as our introduction, Hebrews chapter 1, verse 1, all the way through chapter 2, verse 7. I'll read kind of slow and deliberate in this, because I'll kind of stop every once in a while just to highlight a phrase. So as I'm reading, you're very welcome to follow along. I'm reading from the King James Version. If you have the New King James Version in the pew, you're going to follow along with that. You'll find every once in a while a phrase might have a little different wording, or the phrase might be reversed. So in Hebrews chapter 1, beginning at verse 1, God, who at sundry times and in divers manners, different times, different ways, spake in time past unto the fathers by the prophets, has in these last days spoken unto us by his Son. So there's something better than angels. God has spoken unto us by his Son, whom he has appointed heir of all things, by whom also he made the worlds. Verse 3. Who being the brightness of his glory and the express image of his person and upholding all things by the word of his power, when he had by himself purged our sins, sat down on the right hand of the majesty on high, being made so much better than the angels, as he has by inheritance obtained a more excellent name than they. So here's this beginning, you're starting to see this list or catalog of things that identify Jesus being better than angels. Verse 5. For under which of the angels said he at any time, thou art my son, this day have I begotten thee? And again, I will be to him, meaning Jesus, a father, and he shall be to me a son. And again, when he brings in the first begotten into the world, he said, let all the angels of God worship him. Again, why is Jesus better than angels? You see the list of reasoning beginning to pile up. Verse 7. And of the angels he said, who makes his angels spirits? And his ministers, meaning the angels, a flame of fire. But unto the Son he says, thy throne, O God, is forever and ever. A scepter of righteousness is the scepter of thy kingdom. Not angels' kingdom, thy kingdom. Verse 9. Thou hast loved righteousness, hated iniquity. Therefore God, even thy God, has anointed thee, or you, Jesus, with the oil of gladness above thy fellows, or above the angels. And thou, Lord, in verse 10, in the beginning hast laid the foundation of the earth, and the heavens are the work of thine hands. They shall perish, but thou remain. And they shall all wax old as does a garment. And as a vesture shalt thou fold them up. They shall be changed, but thou art the same, and thy years shall not fail. Wow. So again, you see, how is Jesus better? He just keeps adding on in the reasoning. Verse 13. But to which of the angels said he at any time, sit on my right hand till I make thine enemies thy footstool? Are they not all ministering spirits sent forth to minister for them who shall be heirs of salvation? Chapter 2, verse 1. Therefore, in other words, because of everything I've said already, therefore, in other words, in conclusion, reach this understanding, therefore, we ought to give the more earnest heed to the things which we have heard, lest at any time we should let them slip. Meaning we should pay special attention to the word of Jesus, the word of God. But then he mentions in verse 2, for if the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it was, and every transgression and disobedience received a just recompense of reward, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which at the first began to be spoken? them that heard him. God also bearing them witness, Jesus' words, both with signs and wonders, with divers miracles, gifts of the Holy Spirit, according to his own will. Verse 5, again another line of reasoning. For unto the angels has he not put in subjection the world to come, whereof we speak. Verse 6, but one in a certain place testifies, saying, what is man that thou art mindful of him? Or the son of man that thou visitest him? Verse 7, thou madest him a little lower than the angels. You crowned him with glory and honor. Did set him over the works of thy hands. Thou hast put all things in subjection under his feet. For in that he put all in subjection under his feet, he left nothing that is not put under him. But now we see not yet all things put under him, being the last day of the judgment. Verse 9. But we see Jesus, who was made a little lower than the angels, for the suffering of death, is crowned with glory and honor, that he, by the grace of God, should taste death for every man. For it became him, for whom are all things, and by whom are all things, in bringing sons into glory, to make the captain of their salvation perfect through sufferings. For both he that sanctifieth and they who are sanctified are all of one, for which cause he's not ashamed to call them brethren. Really, all of chapters 1 and 2 is a line of reasoning, or a line of Jesus being better than the angels. I just want to go through point number 1. I have other notes than what I've given you in my notes. If I remember, I'll try to say, this verse that I'm listing is not in your notes. But some I know are going to add to your notes or take notes and add to it. So first of all, the phrase, just point number 1, that's all we're going to do tonight. Chapter 1, verse 2, has in these interesting phrase, last days spoken unto us by his son. There's something significant in each phrase. Has in these last days, we are in the last days, the Christian era, Christian age, ever since Jesus was resurrected and ascended back to the Father. The words last days are mentioned several times in the New Testament as being in these last days. 1 Timothy 4, verse 1. 2 Timothy 3, verse 1. And 1 Peter 1, verse 20, just for a reference. We are in the last days. These last days, this era, this age, has spoken. Now, Jesus is more than a speaker. He's God's Son. He's Savior. He's the sacrifice. He's coming back again to be a judge. But it's interesting, in this context, he makes reference. In these last days, has spoken, God has spoken unto us by his Son. We mentioned this in a lesson this morning in the transfiguration of Jesus in Matthew 17, verse 5. God said, this is my beloved Son, whom I'm well pleased. Hear ye him. And so Moses and Elijah were there, but the cloud came down, the cloud lifted up, and only Jesus remained. As great a lawgiver as Moses, and a prophet as Elijah, yet God takes them away and gives that lesson, this is my beloved Son whom I well pleased, hear ye him. In John 12, verse 48, Jesus said, my word shall judge you in the last day. God speaks to us through his Son, his word. Matthew 28, verse 18, all authority has been given unto me in heaven and on earth. So God has spoken to us by his Son, not angels. So I put in your notes, because no one's going to say, wait a minute, Brian, angels did speak, Old and New Testament. So I just gave you those references for you. A couple of references that I did not list for you or in Acts chapter 7, verse 53, where Stephen is preaching to the Sanhedrin, the Jewish leaders, and he makes reference who have received the law through the disposition of angels, and you have not kept it. So he mentions angels were involved in delivering God's message, but Stephen says to his audience, you haven't kept the law. In Galatians 3, verse 19, speaks of the law again, and says was ordained by angels in the hands of a mediator. So angels certainly have a part to play in delivering God's message to certain people. In chapter 2, verse 2, and back to your notes, it says that the word spoken by angels was steadfast, and it was. It even mentions every transgression, disobedience, received its just recompense of reward. But since Jesus is better than angels, Jesus' word is going to be steadfast also. And that's one of his messages he's giving in this text by comparison. And the Hebrew audience would recognize that illustration. They would say, oh, that's right. We remember God's justice and severity all through the Old Testament. Yes, there was recompense for the disobedient. Well, so now he said, well, God speaking to us through his Son, how much more will that be steadfast, what Jesus said? So he says in verse 3, how shall we escape if we neglect so great salvation, which was at the first spoken by the Lord and confirmed to us? The rest of it in your notes, I just have, and I'll read the whole verse for you. People that angels spoke to. Matthew 28, verse 5, the angel answered and said to the women, came to the tomb, fear not ye. Luke 1, verse 13, the angel said to him, fear not, Zacharias, for thy prayer is heard. Your wife Elizabeth shall bear a son. You'll call his name John. Angel spoke to Mary in Luke 1, verse 30. The angel said to her, fear not, Mary. You have found favor with God. Matthew 1, verse 20. The angel of the Lord appeared to him in a dream, saying, Joseph, thou son of David, fear not to take unto thee Mary, thy wife. Acts 8, verse 26. Angel of the Lord spake unto Philip, saying, arise, go toward the south, unto the way that goes down from Jerusalem to Gaza, which is desert. Acts 10, verse 3. He, meaning Cornelius, saw in a vision about the ninth hour of the day an angel of God coming into him and saying to him, Cornelius. The angel spoke to Cornelius. In Acts 12, verse 8, behold, the angel of the Lord came upon him, meaning Peter, when he was in prison. The light shined in the prison, smote Peter on the side, raised him up, saying, the angel said to Peter, arise quickly. When Paul was shipwrecked on his way to Rome, in Acts 27, verse 23, Paul said, there stood by me this night the angel of God, whose I am and whom I serve, saying, fear not, Paul, you must be brought before Caesar. So we certainly, if I'm going to say, yes, God speaks to us through his Son, somebody's going to say, wait, God spoke to us through angels. Now, that's true. He certainly did. But angels did not speak directly to an audience of people the message of salvation. They did not occupy, put in your notes, a public platform. They were not God's messengers in that sense, like you think of the fathers and the prophets and the apostles and even Jesus, his son, and others who were scattered abroad in the persecution and preached the word of God to others. Angels did not do that. I also put in your notes a warning. In Galatians 1, beginning of verse 8, really, it should be verse 6 and 7, in this, but I keyed on verse 8 because of the word angel. Paul said, but though we are an angel from heaven, preach any other gospel unto you than that which we have preached unto you, let him be accursed. As we said before, so say I now again. If any man preach any other gospel unto you than that which ye have received, let him be accursed. So here the apostle on the first missionary journey established that church in Galatia, made the rounds, comes back to Antioch in Pisidia and writes back to them. And Paul's message is to this audience back in Galatia, I marvel that you're so soon removed from the gospel of Jesus Christ, which is not another gospel that they were removed to. But then he gives this warning. But though we, or an angel from heaven, says, even though we, if I come back on another journey, and I preach unto you a different message than I preached the first time, and that which you received, don't believe me. I'm cursed. Even if you think you have an angel message, and that message is different from that which I preached unto you and that which you received, let that angel is to be accursed. That's his message. Angels don't have a message of their own. They don't. They're not to be maverick and make something up or reveal something other than what God has revealed to them to give to the person they were speaking to. So we or an angel from heaven preach any other gospel. In verse 6, which is not enough. There isn't any other. Angels are put in your notes, are not to be worshipped. Colossians 2, verse 18. Let no man beguile you of your reward in a voluntary humility and worshiping of angels. Maybe someone come by and says, you know, voluntary humility. I worship angels. No. Don't be beguiled. Even through a pretense or anything else in the attitude or the emotion of someone delivering the message, worshiping of angels, intruding into those things, the verse continues, intruding in those things which he has not seen. He's vainly puffed up by his fleshly mind. Revelation 19, verse 10, when Jesus gives the revelation to John, the angel of the church. I, John, fell at his feet to worship him, the angel. He said to me, do it not. I am thy fellow servant. Worship God. In Revelation 22, verse 8, I, John, saw these things, heard them. When I had heard and seen, I fell down to worship before the feet of the angel which showed me these things. Then said he unto me, see thou do it not. But we do not worship angels. So that's kind of the introduction to the series on Sunday evenings, Lord willing. And we'll continue this lesson. You can read ahead and look at your notes. I know I put 2 pages of notes. In these notes, I'm going to try to give you enough information so that when you're reading the text, it'll help you follow along. I'll try to give you enough notes to help you in your study and kind of bring back memory of some things that we've tried to say or present. So that's the lesson this evening. Again, I'll try to maybe do a subject on angels when we finish the word better in the book of Hebrews. Always on if you just kind of look ahead, it's interesting too. Just in, again, verse, when I put the V there, that means the verse is 2 and 3, still in chapter 1 of Hebrews. So that's kind of how to read my notes. And then in verse 4, being made so much better than angels. And then underneath on the second page at the top under 3, the next 10 verses cite 7 Old Testament passages show Jesus' superiority over angels. So not only did I give you what the Hebrew writer said, but I gave you the Old Testament reference. And if you go back to the Old Testament, you'll see it says almost the same thing the Hebrew writer said. So there's your notes for that. Look, read ahead, everybody. Always when we assemble on Lord's Day evening, we sing a song of encouragement, song of invitation. There is one here this evening, not a member of the New Testament church. Never been baptized for remission of sins. We can accomplish that. You've heard the gospel message. You believe it. You're willing to repent of your sins, confess your faith that Jesus is God's Son before the audience gathered here. You can be baptized. You rise to walk, the Bible says, newness of life. From that point on, begin to grow in grace and knowledge of our Lord and Savior Jesus Christ. That's the invitation. That's that great commission we talked about this morning in our sermon. So if you're willing, if that's your desire, if that's your resolve, just simply come and let it be known what we're